once upon a time, in a faraway land, a young prince lived in a shining castle. Although he had everything his heart desired, the prince was spoiled, selfish, and unkind. But then, one winter's night, an old beggar woman came to the castle and offered him a single rose in return for shelter from the bitter cold. Repulsed by her haggard appearance, the prince sneered at the gift and turned the old woman away. But she warned him not to be deceived by appearances, for beauty is found within. And when he dismissed her again, the old woman's ugliness melted away to reveal a beautiful enchantress. The prince tried to apologize, but it was too late, for she had seen that there was no love in his heart. As punishment, she transformed him into a hideous beast, placed a powerful spell on the castle and all who lived there. Ashamed of his monstrous form, the beast concealed himself inside his castle with a magic mirror as his only window to the outside world. The rose she had offered was truly an enchanted rose, which would bloom for many years. If he could learn to love another and earn their love in return by the time the last petal fell, then the spell would be broken. If not, he would be doomed to remain a beast for all time. As the years passed, he fell into despair and lost all hope, for who could ever learn to love a beast?
And that is the opening to Disney's Beauty and the Beast. I think I pulled that off of the Broadway production. And it is the current production at Urbana High School, which actually opens tomorrow and runs through Sunday. And in a moment, we have a live preview of some of the songs that will be performed. Coming up, also a live preview in our studio of a very different show, but also a musical. It is called The Mikado by Gilbert and Sullivan. You can call it a musical, you can call it an opera, you can call it an operetta. All are, to some extent, true. And that will be a one-time performance Friday night at 7:30 at the Krannert Center in Urbana. And we'll have some of the lead characters and the stage director joining us for that as well. So that'll be coming up at around 4:30, 4:25, we will see. This is Live and Local, the show's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thank you very much for joining us on the show. We have with us three of the actors from the Urbana High School production of Beauty and the Beast in the role of the Beast is Jeremiah Beasley. That would be interesting to have a beast play you. That would be just a little bit different. Mrs. Potts will be played by Tafadzwa Diener, and in the role of Belle is Kitty Schwartz. At the keyboard is the vocal director, Colin Murphy, and in a chair to my left in the studio here is Tim, you know, I always forget, is Broker.
Yes.
I always want to say Broker, Bruca.
Broker, like as in Tom Broker.
Yeah, that would be different. Although you wonder if that's where that came from.
Anyway, never know.
He's the drama director at Urbana High School and is therefore stage director and producer for this production. Thanks, everybody, for coming in.
Thank you.
Yes.
Did I say Tim? Tom. Did I say Tom?
No.
I said Tim?
Yeah.
So you put me on the mind of Tom Brokaw now, making me think I made a mistake. Well, anyway, why Beauty and the Beast? I always ask these questions for school productions because you got your pick of so many musicals, but...
It's true, and it's really hard to choose shows. There's a lot of different factors that go into it, looking at who you have, the voice parts, the dancing abilities, and all of that, as well as budgetary restraints. We chose Beauty and the Beast. It was kind of not one we were ever really thinking about. It just popped into thin air. We were struggling to come up with a spring musical. Last summer we were talking about it. We knew what else we were doing. And we were just struggling to come up with it. And we actually were working with a production of The Music Man. And there was the little kid who was playing the role of Winthrop. And we were just sitting there, and I said, what about Beauty and the Beast? And he could play Chip. So we do have a little kid playing the role of Chip. And we thought about it for a while, and we knew it was a big undertaking. It's expensive, all the costumes, massive sets. A lot has gone into it, but we finally decided that it's a classic tale. It's family-friendly. It's a great tale for anyone to come see, and we had the kids to do it, so we should.
When you say we...
I have my tech director, Brianna Morton, at the high school. We make those decisions together. So.
And also, when you said budgetary issues, and then you, I thought I was thinking of Beauty and the Beast, because I was involved in the production of this several years ago myself. I thought, at least if you're going to do anything like full costumes, you usually have to rent those, don't you?
Yes, and we did rent all of our Enchanted costumes, which is a very pricey endeavor, but... it's worth it, and I think it's a show that it's been a couple of years since it's been done around here, so I think it's one that people will still come see and everyone enjoys. So we know we'll make money on it, and we didn't really lose money, but it's been expensive.
So does anyone actually make money on musical theater?
That's a good question.
it's the not losing money thing.
Right, yeah. Which is important.
Well, for those who happen to not to know the story, what happened?
So you've got Belle, who lives in this small provincial town in France. She is considered kind of an outcast because she likes to read, and she's different than everyone else. And
in other words, she's a nerd.
Yeah, exactly, in like modern society. And through a long series of events with her father, who's another kind of quirky guy, quirky inventor, getting trapped in the castle, the Beast putting him in the dungeon, and her trying to rescue him, she ends up offering to take his place so that he can go home. So then she's stuck in the castle, and it is what it says. It's this tale as old as time where the Beauty and the Beast fall in love, and the prince has been turned into a beast, a hideous beast, by the Enchantress, which you heard in the prologue. And there's the rose and the petals fall, and he has until the last petal falls to fall in love in order to backtrack on the spell and become a human again.
Just like all those crime stories on TV where you know, the bomb is ticking and you know they're going to get it solved by the top of the hour.
Or at least you hope so.
And you're pretty sure it'll get solved by the end of the musical and before that pedal drops. And it's not too much to give away things, you know, in musicals that have been around for a long time.
Right.
It does have a reasonably happy ending. I suppose it depends whose perspective you have. Well, we've got some songs to sing. Who's going first? Are we taking things in order?
I think so, yeah.
And this is Belle, who has been already imprisoned, I guess, in the castle, essentially.
Yes. Yeah, she took her father's place, and now she's lamenting for the loss of her home, basically.
And it's Kitty Schwartz in the role of Belle. Colin Murphy's at the keyboard. We're live on Live and Local.
Yes, I made the choice, for Papa I will stay, but I don't deserve to lose my freedom in this way, you monster. If you think that what you've done is right, well then, you're a fool. Is this where I should learn to be happy? Never dreamed that a home could be dark and cold. I was told every day in my childhood, even when we grow old, home should be where the heart is. these two.
From Beauty and the Beast. The song's called Home, and is sung by the character of Belle, played by Kitty Schwartz in the Urbana High School theater production, which opens tomorrow and runs through Sunday. Kitty, I assume that this was the role you really wanted in this show, as opposed to some other?
Yeah, actually, I was really excited when we heard we were doing this, because I know I've loved this the Disney movie for a really long time, ever since I was really young. So when I heard about it, I was just thinking, oh, I would really love to play Belle, and I got really lucky, and now I get to. So.
What's appealing about that role?
I don't know. It's just, you know, when you're a little girl, you look up to those Disney princesses, so it's kind of, you know, just ingrained in my psyche, I guess. I wanted to be Belle.
You said, you know, when you're a little girl, that is something I actually don't know.
Oh, well, I guess. I guess not.
So, and I've occasionally heard that, you know, that particular female characters in whether they're cartoons or even dolls, I suppose. Now that you're doing it on stage, what do you find some of the challenges about it dramatically, and also some of the appealing aspects about it dramatically?
Well, I guess it's kind of the same thing for both of those parts. There's a lot more than meets the eye, really, for her character. And I realize this more and more as I've done it. There's just so much more that you discover every time you're doing it. There's more about Belle. And you really don't really see that when you just watch it, but when you're doing it, you realize that so much more. So that's been really interesting and difficult for me to deal with.
Is some of the depth of the character things that people would see in the audience, or that you realize as you're trying to create the character?
I think it's both, actually. Yeah, hopefully someone that will be seen from the audience, but I feel like a lot of it's just involved in the process of working on that character.
Can you give me an example?
The whole process of Belle, it's a little weird because she starts off so frightened and scared being at home with a beast, and just going through that whole process of how exactly does she change when she's there? How does she eventually fall in love with him? What about her? Like, what happens? What within her changes? So kind of working on that, thinking about that.
And the interesting thing for her character is, while the audience knows and the beast knows that he's not really a beast, well, provided things can go back, you have no idea of that.
Yeah.
Right? You just think he is what you see.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so that makes you... That gives you some depth of character right there.
Yeah, exactly.
What do we have next? I see that Jeremiah is standing ready. Are you doing the next tune?
Yes, I am.
Jeremiah Beasley is in the role of the beast. And I've always been curious to know, what kind of beast? Nobody ever says.
What kind of beast?
Have you ever given any thought to that? What kind of beast are you?
No, I never really thought about what kind of beast I...
Something to think about. I don't know if that'll change your thinking about the character, but something I've often wondered. And you're going to do sort of the corollary to that song. I mean, she's singing, you know, basically, get me out of here. I really want to go back home. And you're singing, if I can't love her, meaning you don't want her to get out of here.
Yes.
Not only because you do kind of like her, but also because you want to get out of the skin. All right. Have at it.
And in my twisted face, there's not the slightest trace of anything that even hints at kindness. And from my tortured shape, no comfort, no escape. I see, but deep within is utter blindness, hopeless. As my dream dies, as the time flies, love lost, illusion helpless, unforgiven, cold and driven to this sad conclusion. No beauty could move me, no goodness improve me, no power on earth if I can't love her. No passion could reach me, no lesson could teach me how I could have loved her and make her love me too if I can't love her. Then who? Long ago I should have seen all the things I could have been. Listen, done thinking, I moved onward. Could be cheaper. No point anymore if I can't love her. No spirit could win me, no hope left within me. Hope I could have loved her and that she set me free. But it's not to be if I can't love her. Let the world be done with me.
Tough song.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, nicely done. Jeremiah Anna Beasley in the role of the Beast from Beauty and the Beast, If I Can't Love Her, for Urbana High School. The theater production is opening tomorrow, running through Sunday. Colin Murphy's vocal director. He's at the keyboard for us here on Live and Local. They're all live in our studio. You've been on the show once before, and so this is my total exposure to you, last time and this time. You seem like kind of a nice guy. Is it difficult for you to play this role?
Yes, it is. I've never played an angry character who's like deep within he has a kind heart, but he doesn't realize that until Belle comes in the castle and he realizes that if he can't love, then he'll be cursed forever. So, I mean, the other characters I've played, they've all been kind and hard. Well, as a Tin Man, he didn't have a heart, but it's ironic because he was really, you know, he really
he
was
thought
loving,
he didn't so. Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it's been challenging though.
Particularly about the first half of the show.
Yeah,
you know, you're not a nice guy.
Yeah, I'm trying to like take it in that there's a girl in the castle, and he realizes as the petals starting to fall that he needs to learn to love, or he really will be cursed forever. So,
what have you had to do for yourself to play that first half? You know, where you are not you.
just, well, I'm not really a mean guy, so I mean, I need to learn how to, like, not really be angry, I guess you could say. I just really angry at the world is what he is. He just needs to learn to love. So it's really hard to see his point of view. It's yeah.
Mr. Murphy, Mr. Broker, what have you had to do with this guy to get him to be a beast? I asked partly because I was music director for a production of this once, and we had a very nice guy playing the beast. And
it's been
it was a struggle for him.
It's been interesting. Like he mentioned his roles. He played the Tin Man in The Wiz. He played Charlie Brown in Your Good Man Charlie Brown, and he played Ugly in The Ugly Duckling Honk the musical. So he's always been that kind of meek, mild like character that everyone picks on, and so it's interesting to draw from those experiences to be on the other side of the spectrum and think about how those characters had to treat him when he was in that position. And so it's been a lot of talking around how would you react in the situation? And like he said, it's all about being mad at the world, mm-hmm. not being mad at an individual person.
And I think musically it's been interesting to work with Jeremiah because often when you get into a situation like this, you can play at the complete opposite spectrum and just be angry all the time. But if the beast is just angry all the time, then we don't see that transformation that he goes through in order to have that heart. It has to add up at a certain point. So dramatically having conversations with Jeremiah about where, like, how does he transform even in this one individual song or just on the overall spectrum of the entire show. I think that's where we've been able to accomplish what we have with Jeremiah.
Okay, well, folks can see starting tomorrow how that worked out. Our next character is pretty much nice and sweet from the beginning to the end. She's the mom in the show. Her child is a teacup, at least for most of the show, as she's in the role of Mrs. Potts, and she gets to do the title song, which is probably my favorite song in the whole show. Mm-hmm. And every time I did it, it was really hard for me not to choke up. Are you going to do that to me right now?
I'll try.
Not that that's necessarily the point of the song, but to Fadzwa Diener in the role of Mrs. Potts from Beauty and the Beast.
As old as time, true as it can be, barely even friends, then somebody bends unexpectedly. Just a little change, small to say the least, both a little scared, neither one prepared. Beauty and the Beast. Ever just the same, ever a surprise, ever as before, ever just as sure.
Wow, the show has some nice voices.
Thank you.
Yeah, all three of you. That was Fadzwa Diener in the role of Mrs. Potts singing the title song from Disney's Beauty and the Beast. All of our actors anyway, are students at Urbana High School in the theater program. Just a real quick question for you. We were talking earlier about costumes, and at least in the productions I've seen, yours is probably the most challenging to wear.
Actually, I mean, there's a lot of pieces, but Cogsworth and the wardrobe, their pieces are just, like, huge.
Ah, yes, that would be true.
They gotta sidestep around everywhere. Mine is pretty, like, flexible and airy, but it's pretty big. And
so you don't have to run around with your arm out, you know, I'm a little teapot thing?
I do.
You do? Maybe I that's do. What I was thinking about.
Yeah. Mom gets a little tired, but stick through it.
And somebody gives you good massages after each practice. The production opens tomorrow, runs through Sunday. Performances are in the evening, Wednesday through Saturday at 7. There are matinees Saturday and Sunday at 2:30 at Urbana High School's Cobb Auditorium. If you want tickets, they're available at the box office 30 minutes before each performance, or they can be reserved by emailing the director, Tim Broeker, T-B-R-O-E-K-E-R, at usd116.org. That's a real catchy one to remember. Or you can phone area 217-384-3505 and leave the usual information so that they know which show you want to attend and who you are, et cetera. Tim Broeker, the director, Cullen Murphy, the vocal director, and Jeremiah Beasley, Tafadzwa Diener, Kitty Schwartz, all with us live on Live and Local. Thanks very much, and as they always say, break a leg or shatter a teapot or something like that.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577.
Come gather round me, Oh, yeah, right. No, I think you better sing it.
Okay, that was the opening music from The Mikado by Gilbert and Sullivan, which is going to have a one-night performance, semi-staged production by Sinfonia da Camera with lots of vocal guests and stage director Don Harris, music director, as always, Ian Hobson. And that is going to be Friday night at 7:30 at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. And it is a show that is an awful lot of fun. It's very silly, as Gilbert and Sullivan often is. And as I had a great deal of fun doing in the promo for this show, reading all of the ridiculous names of the characters, which one could be excused for sounding like you're doing nonsense syllables by rattling off their names like Nanky Poo and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Don Harris is stage director, as I said. Ian Hobson is music director and is at the keyboard with us. And in the role of the Mikado, the title character, as they say, Ricardo Herrera, who is of the University of Illinois faculty. Also on the faculty is Yvonne Gonzalez-Redman in the role of the female romantic lead of Yum Yum. And Kyle Polio plays Coco, the Lord High Executioner, which is wonderful. Title, and then there's Lord High Everything Else, who is the role of Poobah, character of Poobah, played by Robert Kerr, and Caitlin Powell in the role of Katishaw, an elderly lady who is in love with Nanky Poo, who is not with us. He is the son of the Mikado, who is in love with Yum Yum, as inevitably happens, and of course she is actually engaged to somebody else. That's the way these things go. Ian Hobson, why the Mikado? This is a bit out of the usual Sinfonia thing.
Yes, well, the idea came to me when we did The Pirates of Penzance. Dawn and I did that at the Barn in Allerton a couple of years ago. And we thought, why not do the most famous of them all, which is the Mikado. And it hasn't been done here for quite a long time. And when it was done here, it was done kabuki style, when Shozo Sata was here.
Yes.
I remember when I was first on campus. And so it's, you know, it's really nice to revisit it and to discover the wonderful tunes and lyrics all over again.
And the University of Illinois used to do Gilbert and Sullivan every summer, didn't they? Or pretty close, with some regularity in the opera program.
I don't remember that, but, you know, it's been a while.
At least I saw a few of them. And they were here. It's almost my only experience with live Gilbert and Sullivan. The other was a production of the Mikado in Chicago that somebody did. So this one should be a great deal of fun. Don, from a director's point of view, are you doing anything funny with this show?
Oh, wow. That's a question. No. As a matter of fact, we are doing it very traditionally. I guess the only funny thing, if you want to say, is that our Coco has twisted the lyrics to a little list around to like make fun of some of the recent happenings on campus, School of Music, politics, you know, Obamacare, that kind of thing. It's a traditional thing that the Patter Man will change the words of his song.
The Patter Man?
Yes.
Is there always one Patter Man in each show, typically?
Yes, there is. There's always a Patter Man, and they're pretty much stock characters in every 14 of the Gilbert and Sullivan comic operas.
And have you directed all of them, or been
I'm getting close. I've been in all of them except Thespis. And I've done roles, you know, several roles. Like, I used to do Yum Yum. I've done it probably hundreds of times throughout the country. And now I'm an aging soubrette, so I'm doing Pity Sing. And I'm sure I'll do Katishaw someday. Just keep moving down in voice range.
And, yeah, okay. So Pity Sing is one of the other wards of Coco, the Lord High Executioner. Does that imply that she's an older one or something, or
well,
just the vocal range?
Well, this is kind of the joke. I mean, I'm a short woman. I'm 5'2", so I am a little maid. It didn't say I had to be a young maid. So.
Well, that's a very careful reading of the script, isn't it? Close yes. reading of the script, what you can get away with and perhaps what not. Well, I know you guys came to sing, and I don't really know how much we're going to sing. So what do you want to start with?
We're going to start with the Mikado's famous song, A More Humane Mikado.
Is there any background required to this, Ricardo? Ricardo the Mikado?
You cannot be 5'2". That's it. That's it. 5'3", 5'1", but not 5'2". No, it's just nothing. I don't know. We're going to have some makeup on me, I think, right?
I hope to do a little kabuki on him so no one knows who he is.
Yeah. They won't have read the program, will they?
No, not at all.
It will be a big surprise for everybody. Right.
Ricardo Herrera in the role of the Mikado of Japan here on Live and Local.
A more humane Mikado never did in Japan exist. To nobody second, I'm certainly reckoned a true philanthropist. It is my very humane endeavor to make to some extent each evil liver a running river of harmless merriment. My object all sublime I shall achieve in time, to let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime, and make his prisoner pent, unwillingly represent a source of innocent merriment, of innocent merriment. All proceed, all society sinners who chatter and bleat and bore are sent to hear sermons from mystical Germans who preach from 10 till 4. The amateur tenor whose vocal villainies all desire to shirk shall during of hours exhibit his powers to Madame Tussaud's waxwork. The lady who dyes a chemical yellow or stains her grey her puce or painters her figure is painted with vigor, with permanent walnut juice. The idiot who in railway carriages scribbles on window panes, we only suffer to ride on a buffer in parliamentary trains. My object all sublime I shall achieve in time, to let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime, and make each prisoner pent, unwillingly represent a source of innocent merriment, of innocent merriment.
His object all sublime he will achieve in time, to let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime,
advertising quack who wearies with tales of countless cures. His teeth I've enacted shall all be extracted by terrified amateurs. The musical singer attends a series of masses and fugues and ops by Bach interwoven with Spohr and Beethoven at classical Monday pops. The billiard sharp whom anyone catches, his doom's extremely hard. He's made to dwell in a dungeon cell on a spot that's always barred. And there he plays extravagant matches in fitless finger stalls on a cloth untrue with a twisted cue and elliptical billiard balls. My object all sublime I shall achieve in time, to let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime, and make each prisoner pent, unwillingly represent a source of innocent merriment, of innocent merriment.
His object all sublime he will achieve in time, to let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime, and make each prisoner pent, unwillingly represent a source of innocent merriment, of innocent merriment.
Ricardo Herrera in the role of the Mikado, the title character from the Gilbert and Sullivan musical, which Sinfonietta Camera and soloists and presumably chorus yes. will be presenting on Friday night at the Krannert Center in Urbana. Ian Hobson is music director and is at the keyboard. Don Harris is the stage director for this production. Don, you said that it's mostly stock characters throughout Gilbert and Sullivan. What are those stock characters, and where do they fit in, or who in this musical fit? I said musical, opera, operetta, whatever you want to call it.
Well, obviously you've got your ingenue, which is our yum-yum. And then we have always the leading man, which is Nanki Poo, played by Benjamin Crumrig in our production. And then the role that I'm playing, typically there is a comic, like lyric mezzo in every show. And she's always up to no good somehow throughout maneuvering around, trying to change things up. And actually, Gilbert and Sullivan wrote those roles for a particular actress at the time and doesn't need the greatest voice. Although, you know, in this case, it's okay. No. And then we always have the bass baritone, you know, more of the regal character, like the Mikado. And then we have...
That's requirements right there.
Yes.
The regal part?
Yeah, that's a requirement.
Yeah, okay.
Some sort of king, you know, all the time. And then we have Pooh Bah, which is, we've got a comic baritone in every single show. And this time he's a very haughty, exclusive person of pre-Adamite ancestral descent.
Basically fairly ridiculous.
Yes, yeah. Very. He's Lord High Everything. He's the chief of the police, a commissioner, you know, and it goes on and on. All rolled into one. And then, like I said, the patter man. And he really, really gets himself in a lot of trouble. So that's why he has to sing so many words and so fast. Try to untangle himself.
Yeah, for those who don't know the term, patter just means singing a whole lot of words.
Yeah, rapid.
In a really short period of time.
Mm-hmm, rapid diction.
Yeah. So what do we have next? You haven't mentioned Caitlin's role.
Oh, Caitlin. Actually,
is that a stock
Caitlin
character particularly?
Is Peepo. And she's one of the three little maids. And I don't know. She's not as sympathetic toward this whole thing of Yum Yum not getting to marry Nanki Poo. She's a little haughty and snippy. So there's one of those too in every show.
Okay. Well, we've got them all right here
yes.
in the studio. And what are we going to do next?
We're going to do the iconic Three Little Maids from School.
And. Always delightful to have those kinds of harmonies. And it's not just the patter man that has a lot of words. You know, everybody in Gilbert and Sullivan really has to work hard to get those words out. Otherwise, we have no idea what's going on. But I suppose you could say that about musicals and opera in general, but Gilbert and Sullivan
exactly.
A little bit more. Well, it matters that when things are supposed to be funny.
I know.
You know, and if you don't get
right.
it. So is that one of the, I mean, Yvonne, you happen to be standing in front of the microphone. Is that one of the particular challenges about doing a show like this?
It always is, and we really try very hard to make sure that the diction gets across so that the audience can appreciate a lot of the jokes that are in the music. Certainly that is the case with Gilbert and Sullivan.
Have you done Gilbert and Sullivan before?
I have. I used to be a part of the Houston Gilbert and Sullivan Society when I was in high school, and I was only chorus, but I got a chance to participate in a number of shows, and we got to perform at Houston Grand Opera, which was a very big deal at the time.
Ooh. And now here you are.
And here I am.
Graduated to Yum Yum. Yvonne Redman is in that role, and we heard Dawn Harris as Pitti Singh, and Caitlin Powell as Pippo in that last Three Little Maids. From the production of the Mikado that the Sinfonia da Camera is putting on for one night only, Friday night at the Krannert Center in Urbana. The show starts at 7:30. You're listening to him live here on Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our programming is made possible today with support from Krannert Art Museum, presenting a gallery conversation exploring the current exhibition Autographics, Recent Drawings by Victor Ekpuk, this Thursday at 5:30 with a Sudden Sound concert featuring NGO Nakatani Gong Orchestra following at 7:30. Yvonne is still in front of the microphone. I gather you're next.
I am. I'll be singing Yum Yum's little ariette, The Sun Whose Rays Are All Ablaze.
And what leads up to this?
This is the second act has just begun, and Yum Yum is about to be married to Nanki Poo, and so this is one of her little songs, rejoicing in this fantastic day and how this is the perfect union on the perfect day in the perfect place.
So it only takes till the beginning of Act Two for the guy to get the girl?
It does. There's a twist, but they're definitely going to be married.
All right.
Whose rays are all ablaze with ever-living glory, does not deny his majesty, he scorns to tell a story. He doth exclaim, I blush for shame, so could they be indulgent. But fierce and bold in fiery gold, he glories all effulgent. The sky we read earth, the sun and I may to rule the earth as he the sky. We really know earth, the sun and I. Observe his flame, that placid dame, the moon celestial highness. There's not a trace upon her face of diffidence or shyness. She borrows light that through the night mankind may all acclaim her. And truth to tell, she lights up well, so I for one don't blame her. Pray make no mistake, we are not shy, we're very wide awake, the moon and I. Pray make no mistake, we are not shy, we're very wide awake, the moon and I.
Yvonne Redman as Yum Yum from the Mikado here on Live and Local. Ian Hobson at the keyboard. He'll be conducting the proceedings, of course, with Sinfonia da Camera Friday night in Urbana at the Krannert Center. Dawn Harris is the stage director. Is any of this based in reality, or is it entirely a fiction?
Well, I don't know if this is the truth, but I've read that Gilbert and Sullivan were supposed to come up with their next comic opera, and they're having a hard time finding subject matter. Well, at the time, there was a Japanese exhibition in London, and Gilbert went to it, and he saw, you know, the Japanese girls, and he bought, like, a samurai sword. And then he placed it in his study or whatever, and it fell down, and he was like, I think this would make a good subject. And I don't know if that's just, you know, folklore or the truth, but I don't know. As far as reality goes, I think there's always problems sometimes with people that love each other that come from different stations in life. And a lot of the Gilbert and Sullivan operas deal with that, like the highborn lady and the lowly sailor. And they love each other, but they can't be together. And so they have to work it out through the whole opera. And I think it's the case with this. Nanki Poo is the son of the Mikado, and he was promised to Katashaw, a woman of the court. But, you know, come on. He doesn't want to marry old Katashaw. Wait till you see Yum Yum, and it will all be clear to you out there why he wants to marry her.
Yeah, okay. What's next?
Well, next we have another one of the ladies' trios, but this time we're joined with Pooh Bah, the haughty man that he is. We have offended him, and we're apologizing to him in this piece.
So please is very much regret if we have fed in etiquette. To what a better break so high, we shall know better by and by. But youth, of course, must have its fling, so pardon us, so pardon us. And don't in girlhood's happy spring be hard on us, be hard on us, if we're inclined to dance and sing, tra-la-la-la-la-la. But youth, of course, must have its fling, so pardon us. And don't in girlhood's happy spring be hard on us.
I think you ought to recollect you cannot show too much respect towards the highly titled few, but nobody does, and why should you? That youth at us should have its fling is hard on us, is hard on us. To our prerogative we cling, so pardon us, if we decline to dance and sing. Tra la 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 la, tra la 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 la, tra la 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 la, tra la 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 la, tra la 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 la, tra la 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 la.
Robert Kerr in the role of Pooh Bah, Lord High Everything, from the Mikado, and then once again Yvonne Redman, Caitlin Powell, and Dawn Harris as the three ladies from the Mikado production that will be presented by Sinfonia da Camera Friday night. Sorry. And I know we have one more tune to go. I want to be sure you get a chance to hear that. Let me tell you what's going to be on tomorrow's Live and Local. We have another musical. This is the couple of musicals going on today. It's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory as presented by students at Edison Middle School. So it'll be quite a different cast of characters we have on the show tomorrow. And I'll also be talking with choreographer Mark Morris, who has brought his dance troupe back for their annual visit to the Krannert Center in Urbana, and we always have a lively conversation. So looking forward to that on tomorrow's Live and Local from 4 to 5. And what have you got going, Kyle?
What I have for you today from Mikado is a song towards the end of the show where Coco, the Lord High Executioner, has kind of been strong-armed by everything that's happened in the previous 21 songs, I guess you could say, into marrying Katashaw, this older woman who's not, shall we say, as yum-yummy as Yum-Yum is. And what he's having to do is being strong-armed to woo her with this song. And if Katashaw says that, oh no, I don't love you, Coco, then he will have to go kill himself. And this song is kind of a way to have him woo her.
Just a little bit of pressure. Before we launch in case I don't get to say this at the end, I better say it now to keep us legal. This is 90.9 WYLL FM in HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois.
On a tree by a river, a little tomtit sang willow, tit willow, tit willow. And I said to him, Dicky bird, why do you sit singing willow, tit willow, tit willow? Is it meekness of intellect, birdie, I cried, or a rather tough worm in your little inside? With a shake of his poor little head, he replied, oh, willow, tit willow, tit willow. Well, he slapped at his chest as he sat on that bough, singing willow, tit willow, tit willow. And a cold perspiration bespangled his brow. Oh, willow, tit willow, tit willow. He sobbed and he sighed, and a gurgle he gave. Then he plunged himself into the billowy wave. And an echo arose from the suicide's grave. Oh, willow, tit willow, tit willow. Now I feel just as sure as I'm sure that my name isn't willow, tit willow, tit willow. That was blighted affection that made him exclaim, oh, willow, tit willow, tit willow. And if you remain callous and obdurate, I shall perish as he did, and you will know why. Though I probably shall not exclaim as I die, oh, willow, tit willow, tit willow.
You know, I had never really known where that song was from a long time ago, and was surprised that it's sung by the Lord High Executioner, which is not what one would expect somehow. But maybe that's part of the comedy of the whole thing.
Absolutely.
In the role of Coco, it's Kyle Polio performing here on Live and Local, and at the keyboard, as he has been throughout this half hour, Ian Hobson, who's the music director of Sinfonia da Camera, which will present the complete Mikado, semi-staged production, one night only, Friday night, 7:30 at the Krannert Center in Urbana. If you'd like tickets, best to go online and find all the info there, krannertcenter.com. Thanks to Ian and Kyle and Ricardo Herrera in the role of Mikado. Robert Kerr as Poobah, Yvonne Gonzalez-Redmond as Yum-Yum, Caitlin Powell as Peepo, and Don Harris as Pity Singh, who's also the stage director for the production. Thanks all very much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Kevin.
Sounds like it should be a great deal of fun and really greatly sung. And it's a big privilege there. We'll be back again with another show tomorrow from 4 to 5, as I mentioned, and lots of things going on for the rest of the week as well. Very nice forecast. It is, as you see, nice and warm outside. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Stay tuned for All Things Considered. It's 5 o'clock.